Asia Pacific Report with Sanusha Naidu.
Sanusha, very good morning to you. Welcome. I hope you're doing well.
Good morning. I'm well. And you?
I'm good. So Elon Musk meets China's number two official in Beijing.
Yeah, that was a surprise visit. In fact, he was supposed to have gone to India, and it was suddenly a U-turn to China. But most of the media, and especially the tech media companies that are following this, are saying that Elon Musk is not doing, I mean, basically it was a surprise visit. But it has to do with Tesla and Tesla's EV production, and also the fact that China has now become quite a competitor in the electric vehicle market. And so because China is got lower, I mean, cost-wise, its production is much more competitive. And it had an electric vehicle expo, I think, about in the week or just last week. And surprise, surprise, Tesla was not invited. So Elon Musk met with Li Qiang, and basically was talking about creating a partnership or some kind of engagement with Baidu. Now, Baidu is a similar thing that you have, like your apps and stuff on your Google, like how you have Google Maps. Baidu does the same thing, but it's the Chinese version. So Tesla has now entered into a partnership or some collaboration around the maps, the geographical mapping and so forth. But what is really interesting about the visit is that Elon Musk is feeling a bit squeezed. His Tesla company had noted in March or April this year that they're going to basically cut jobs. And that's because they haven't really been doing well in their EV market. Secondly, they've been experiencing a squeeze because of the fact that you can see how competitive China is. The Chinese are really flooding the European market with their electric vehicles. And you can also realize that that's quite a big issue for the European Union as well. And I think the other issue here is the fact that there's the US-China tension. So a company like Tesla, you know, it has to be competitive. And of course, it also has to now start thinking about how it deals with its competitors. And so going into this kind of arrangement, et cetera, and talking to state authorities in China kind of is part of those whole dynamic of how you do business globally and how businesses are affected by geopolitical tensions. The only issue I would say is that, you know, Elon Musk is not in the right space right now. There's been a lot of reports about whether or not his social media company X, Tesla, etc., are basically in that financial comfort zone, and they're not. And so some commentators have argued that, you know, he may have to think about some of his operations outside of the U.S., and particularly the relationship with China, if there's a Trump presidency later in the year in the U.S.
Now, Trudeau's presence at a Sikh rally has inflamed ties between Canada and India. The Prime Minister is accused of encouraging a climate of violence.
Yeah, so this has been an ongoing tension between Ottawa and Delhi. And it has to do with the fact that the Sikh separatist movement in Canada, I think it's called the Calistine Movement, you know, has basically taken on a very explicit, a very kind of oppositional and viral, virulent approach against the Indian government, and particularly the Modi government. So the decision by Justin Trudeau to attend a rally in Toronto, I think, has already caused more kinds of tensions, more kinds of strain, etc., because he addressed that rally personally. So what the Indian government is doing is that they want more kind of assurances that Justin Trudeau, as PM of Canada, will not necessarily give any kind of traction or credence to this movement, to this separatist movement. And so at the same time, I think that it's having a strain on bilateral relations, and also the strain between the strain of bilateral relations between the two sides is partly because of the fact that there was an incident in 2023, which was a murder of a citizen, Canadian citizen, and a Sikh separatist leader. And that in itself has also been the underlying tension, because there's accusations that that there's a possibility, and I think Washington is investigating that now, that Indian intelligence were involved in that assassination, or some kind of connection to Indian intelligence. So, and what India has done, particularly now under the BJP, is it doesn't want these separatist movements in the Indian diaspora to flourish or to become very, very, to consolidate. And so they're trying to also ask countries where there are big Indian majorities, like North America, like Canada, to try and, you know, keep these Sikh separatist movements, the activities of these Sikh separatist movements and others, in some kind of watch. So at the same time, I think, you know, what Trudeau is doing is he's basically being the Prime Minister of Canada, and he's basically, you know, feeling that he can actually have that relationship. And so to ask another country to rein in a separatist movement and so forth, I think is really where we are in the gray box of what's happening in respect of domestic affairs, but also how India is looking at this in terms of it being a diplomatic issue in terms of bilateral relations. Oh, and one more thing is, it also is important because of the context this may play with regard to the ongoing elections now in India.
And then finally, KFC closes outlets in Muslim-majority areas of Malaysia as anti-Israel boycott begins to bite.
Yes, that's very interesting, because at the moment what we have is a number of American companies are feeling the heat on the Israel-Gaza issue. And so what's going on is there's almost a kind of boycott of these companies, particularly fast food chains, which are in Malaysia. So the latest now is KFC in Malaysia. Previously, it's Starbucks and McDonald's. And what has happened is that they've essentially have been pressure on these companies to close. And so closing means that they'll have to start thinking about what the impact of this is. I mean, there's a global movement as well to stop companies that operate in Israel or have some connection to Israel to not necessarily operate in their countries because of the ongoing challenge. I mean, all you have to do is cast your mind back to how this kind of anti-apartheid activism took place in our country during the apartheid era, where companies like Coca-Cola, Pepsi, that were doing business with the apartheid state were then pressurized in their home countries around sanctions, around closure, around disinvestment. And that's what's happening here. So how this will play out, I'm not sure. But the other area, I mean, we've seen this a lot in Asia, particularly in Malaysia. But I think that we are going to see what's currently happening in the U.S. with the crackdown on student protests in UCLA and other universities, where there's also a movement being built around companies, American companies that have interests in Israel or are actually having some kind of economic relationship with Israel. Particularly, I think you're going to see this with in the tech industry. You're going to see this in the military and defense industry, where there's this whole kind of pushback now of companies who may be not necessarily compliant, but maybe trying to and that are not necessarily taking a stance. And this is part and parcel of the big global movement as well.
All right, Sanusha, as always, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. Take care.
That was this week's Asia-Pacific Report with Sanusha Naidu.